This is Abnormal Entertainment.
Hi, this is Tony Sabal with the Atomic Fallout Society. I'm back with my brother Dave. We are definitely going old school.
Yeah, Tony, where's all our equipment?
No, we don't need equipment because we're actually going retro. This is our 99th episode. 99 episodes. Can you imagine? Let me ask you real quick, Dave. 99 episodes. Did you imagine that we would ever get to 99?
I never thought we would, but you know what? Hey, I hope that we could actually catch up to Kevin and Cinema Head Cheese. I don't think we could catch up to Cinema Head Cheese,
though. I'll save a lot of the reminiscing for episode 100. Our comrade at arms, Brian Smith, is actually off this week.
Which is good, because he would not allow this way of recording.
Well, no, I came up with the idea of really going back to the style of recording that you and I did. Because I remember the first time that Kevin Moyers actually contacted me and told me, hey, we're doing a podcast. Would you like to do a podcast on comic books? And I just thought, okay. And he was thinking about me and you, Dave, doing this podcast. That was years. That was about 2 or 3 years ago.
That was 2 or 3 years ago. And basically, you know what? I'm still amazed we made it to episode 50. Now we're approaching episode 100. And, you know, the podcast just seems to be getting better and better with time going on because, you know.
Except for this one, because we are recording straight off of the laptop, because this is how we recorded our very first episode of the Atomic Fallout Society. We recorded episode 1 in my house, which I actually, help me out here. Were we still at the old house still when we were doing this?
No, we were, wait a minute. When we first actually recorded, we were at the old house.
We were at my parents' old house.
Because I remember the kitchen. We would be in the kitchen and actually doing it.
Exactly. It now comes back. My parents, our very first episode that we had recorded was in my parents' kitchen using a laptop and a program called MP3, My MP3. And I've noticed that they're now on version 4. I do believe that we worked on the very first version of MP3, My MP3.
Yeah,
that's how old school this is. Because, by the way, let me just mention, this is episode 99 of the Atomic Fallout Society, brought to you by Abnormal Entertainment, where you could find us at abnormalentertainment.blogspot.com or atomicfallout.blogspot.com.
And you can find us on Facebook.
Find us on Facebook. You could search Atomic Fallout Society, or if you happen to find me, my brother David Sabal, or our friend Brian Smith,
the Beard of Steel,
you could definitely find a link to the Atomic Fallout Society Facebook page. Speaking of Brian, and going back to your point, yeah, I do believe this is, I think, the first week that Brian is actually taking off with us.
That is true. It's been a while.
Ever since he joined Atomic Fallout, which was like almost what? Like more than a year ago that he decided to jump on the ship known as the Atomic Fallout Society.
Well, dude, that's why Brian is the Beard of Steel. I don't think this is going to be the first time he ever has taken a recording off.
Yeah. So. Well, but I wanted to go old school. I wanted to like reminisce to the very first episode that we recorded. I want to thank Brian. You know, Brian's been an incredible trooper. He's definitely earned his week off, because I know that me and you, we would go out of town on trips, and he would try to record a couple of episodes without us.
Oh yeah, a couple of those episodes. Yeah, I mean, everyone remembers the ill-fated Justin and Brian show.
Yeah.
But also, you know what? It was because of those moments that also we got a lot of our friends involved in the show. I mean, we got Chris,
Greg. We even had an appearance by the one and only Alan Moore.
We had Jim. Jim Hanna. And
Jim Hanna, and we also even had our fearless leader, Kevin Moyer, stop by. We've done also, like, on-site shows at Gotham and Samurai.
And even at conventions like TusCon.
Yeah, Tucson Comic-Con and Phoenix Comic-Con. So, but we're going old school. This is how we recorded many, many years ago with episode number one. Do you remember anything about episode number one, Dave?
I just remember that basically I was naked and sitting in the same chair as you, and it was very uncomfortable.
You weren't naked, because if you were naked, I would have called the cops on you. You were just in your underwear. You know, like
that's bad enough.
You know, which is why this is an audio podcast.
Exactly.
Because if it was a video podcast, it would be very offensive. But anyway, we're going old school. This is our 99th episode. Next week, we will be recording episode 100. I think I have a plan for episode 100, but I'll probably share it with you and Brian later on this week.
Episode 100 should be a real big deal, so we'll figure it out. I mean, we got about a week to prepare.
Now, we are recording here at my house in my upstairs loft, and so we could be interrupted live during the taping in case my dad, who's in the Philippines, tries to call.
Yeah, that is true. I want to at least...
Give everyone a heads up that, well, we're just going to record like we did the very first episode.
Yeah,
just let it record and then just have Kevin deal with it tomorrow. I'll lead off with my review for this week. I've decided to review, it's my favorite character. There's no doubt about it. Batman issue number 23.2.
Yeah, now, you gotta remember, you better tell the audience that it's not exactly Batman because we're in the special DC Villains Month.
Yeah, let me explain in case anybody's not aware of what's going on. DC this month is spending time on all their titles focusing on the villains. And so you'll have a lot of villains being reintroduced into the new 52. And this one is no exception. Batman 23.2. Remember, 23.2. I don't know. I mean, personally, these point issues are getting to me.
Well, did you remember that last week, me, Chris, and Brian talked about it, how DC is basically doing a Marvel.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, 23.2, Batman, and this episode is all about the Riddler. And of all the Batman villains, that's been getting a lot of... story time for the last couple of years, I would even venture to say before Flashpoint, Riddler is one character that really hasn't gotten a lot of story time, I gotta admit. And I know for our buddy Justin Blair, who's the manager at Samurai Comics in Mesa, Riddler is one of his favorite characters. Oh, yeah. I should know. I've worked with Justin for about a year at Atomic, and he's a fond fan of the Riddler. This particular episode or issue for Batman focuses on the Riddler, and it's basically more like a setup of the character. Now, this isn't the typical Riddler that you're familiar with, and especially for my brother, this isn't Frank Gorshin Riddler.
Ah, that's a shame, but, you know, it is still a good Riddler.
Thank God it's not Jim Carrey Riddler.
Oh, let's not ruin this anymore.
I've always thought of the Riddler, you know, the guy, you know, like, has no superpowers, he likes to talk in riddles, so he comes across as a guy that I think is very smart, very cerebral. And there's no doubt about that this guy, you know, he doesn't even come across as a lunatic. He's very calculating. He's definitely a chaotic character.
Yeah, let's get one thing clear, though. I mean, for the average fans out there that basically tune into our show, and basically not into comic books as heavy as me and my brother, Riddler is not the Joker. There's a lot of misconception that basically a lot of people say, well, Riddler is a poor man's Joker. He really isn't.
I mean, he's
chaotic. Like my brother said, he is chaotic, but there's some order to his chaos.
But here's the deal. The Riddler's a psychopath. He's a psychopath. He's a flat-out psychopath. He's smart, but he's willing to, like, go over the edge. The Riddler's, he's much more calculating.
Yeah, you mean the Joker is a psychopath.
The Joker, yeah, I'm sorry. The Joker is a psychopath. The Joker's, like, he's willing to go out of bounds with any of his plots. Riddler is more calculating.
Sociopath.
Yeah, a sociopath. Yeah, I think that, you know, like, go ahead and Google it if you want to, the difference between psychopath and sociopath.
There is a difference.
Yeah, there is. Joker is a psychopath. Riddler is a sociopath. So, and it definitely comes out in this issue. I like his style, particularly, you know, like, the way that he goes about his business. He's very nonchalant. He just, like, even though he's in his lime green suit, and thank God it's not that one-piece jumpsuit or whatever that thing was that Frank Gorshin was wearing.
But, dude, Frank Gorshin rocked it. But Jim Carrey ruined it.
Well, the one thing is you do have the Jim Carrey cane. I do believe the cane that he carries is based off of the Jim Carrey's character. But he's neither Gorshin, he's neither Carrey. He's very calculated. He's very smart. He goes about, and even when he tells his riddles are a lot more deeper. I don't know, lot more, you know, like there. It isn't like why did a chicken cross the road?
Yeah.
It's more or less like his riddles are more or less like haikus.
Haikus?
Sort of, you know, like more
poetic.
Poetic. There you go. You know, like, but he definitely is calculated because there is a method to his madness.
There is.
And at towards the end of the issue, you start to realize one of the reasons why he picked out this particular plot is more or less like, let's just say more of a, less a payback sort of deal. But it also serves as some sort of like a setup point because at the end of the issue, he definitely is setting himself up for a confrontation with Batman.
Yeah.
Now, physically, there is no way that the Riddler, even this version of the Riddler, can go head-to-head, toe-to-toe, physically against Bruce Wayne's Batman.
Yeah, but most of Batman's villains can't do that. I mean, Joker can't physically go toe-to-toe with Batman. It usually comes down to a psychological battle.
I think that in this case, when it comes to the battle of wits and intellect, this is going to get interesting.
It's always interesting. That's what I love about the Riddler is the fact that he's not a guy that basically is going to try to defeat you physically with his brawn. He's going to humiliate you, basically, by showing you how superior he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really, really intrigues me about the character, because really DC hasn't used him a lot, but when they have, it's been at very good points. I mean, my favorite Riddler moment was in the story Hush, where you find out Riddler's been the mastermind the whole time.
Yeah.
In Hush, and he basically wins in the end by finding out who Batman is.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to today, that storyline doesn't exist, apparently, because the Riddler does not know who Batman is.
And it's because of Flashpoint.
It is because of Flashpoint. This is one of the reasons why, you know, a lot of people said, like, the reboot really hurt a lot of a...
But on the other hand, I think that there's a lot of opportunity to see where this character goes.
Yeah.
I think that this is the type of character that his agenda, whatever it might be, you know, is one of those agendas that could go anywhere.
Yes.
His direction could go anywhere. He could end up becoming an anti-hero.
Yeah, he could. Yeah. I just would hate to see it happen.
But I think that he would definitely be quite the adversary when it comes to wits and intelligence against a Batman. I think that he could definitely push Batman to his limits. I think that, you know, like, in terms of, like, a confrontation that deals with straight-up intellect.
Now, who was the team that did Riddler number one? for Batman?
The team, the creative team, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, our own and my one of my favorite writers, Scott Snyder. Scott Snyder wrote this particular issue along with Ray Fox.
Fox. And Ray Fox, basically, that's why I was like wondering too, because when I was flipping through it, I'm used to seeing Snyder and Capullo in Batman.
I think
so
that,
seeing actually another artist, but Ray Fox does a really good job in this.
I think that this is also because of the particular villain issues.
Yeah,
they're treating this completely separate from the storyline. It does tie in, however, with what's been going on in Forever Evil, and I want to say also, if you do pick up the preceding Batman issues or even like the last couple Batman issues dealing with year one or year zero,
yeah,
there's definitely a couple of bits in there that could explain more about the Riddler,
yeah,
and his rise. But anyway, Batman 23.2, the Riddler, I give that a 4 for story.
Okay.
I give it a 3 for art.
Okay.
So therefore, I'll give it an overall grade of 3.5.
So is it worth a pickup for that?
Oh, absolutely. Character? I think it's worth the pickup, especially if you're a Batman fan, especially if you're a Riddler fan, because I think this is basically will give you an inkling of what to expect from this character from here on out.
All right. So now, moving from my brother, as my brother said, the Riddler title basically covers Forever Evil and doesn't really tie in to a major storyline that happens in Batman, the current run of Batman. The issue I'm bringing today, however, ties in to the actual storyline that's happening in the title, and not exactly Forever Evil. It has nothing to do with Forever Evil. And that is Flash 23.2, and it's the Reverse Flash, number one. I know that I've covered The Flash many, many times and sing its praises of the team of Manipal and Buccolato. And, you know, so you guys know that this is going to get a high score. The reason why I wanted to bring this to the table was to tell to basically let everyone know that this is basically a must pick up for any comic book fan that has been reading Flash. Because we get the answer that we've been waiting for probably 12 past issues, which is who is Reverse Flash? Which I was like thinking that, as you guys might remember, I predicted that it was going to be Wally West, the return of Wally West. And unfortunately, I was wrong. But then again, you could kind of say I was right. Because now, with my brother's permission, I have to. This is a review that you have to spoil. I'm not going to spoil what happens in the title, but one spoiler for this thing is you do find out that basically the Reverse Flash is none other than the estranged brother of Iris West, Daniel West, not Wally, Daniel. And I flipped the page and basically I found out, oh, it's Daniel that's actually the Reverse Flash. I was like going, this is them skirting around the thing about Wally because, of course, it's a West. And everyone was wondering what happened to Wally West. Why is Daniel West here? And I basically am telling people, yes, it's not Wally West. The Reverse Flash is Daniel West. However, I just have this inkling that they're going to tie Daniel to Wally somehow. One reason why is because in this issue, you kind of find out Daniel's background, what happened to him. And you kind of find out that he came from a broken life. He was arrested. You find out a lot of stuff about Iris and Daniel's life as children, which is really dark because it deals with basically their father not being a very good father figure, William West. And yes, I've already read a couple of things online about how William West, the fact that his father's name is William, is a knock on Wally, because Wally is a pseudonym for William in some places. But going back to
that's a stretch.
But people are saying it.
Okay, go ahead.
But Daniel turns out to be the Reverse Flash, the Flash that is hunting down Barry Allen and trying to do something, because he keeps telling Barry that something's wrong with the time. He screwed it up, and he has to fix it. The Reverse Flash has to fix this. So, mainly in this title is an origin story for the Reverse Flash, which is really cool. I really dig how they explain how Daniel got his powers. You have to be reading most of Flash to actually realize that, oh yeah, all that stuff that was happening in the background, there was a reason for this. And that's why I do like the fact that it's the same creative team that's been on the title this whole time. They knew ahead of time that they had to tie everything together. And I love that continuity. I love the fact that basically Manipal and Buccolato just kept everything going. And they even show flashbacks to past issues that show Daniel was here. You just didn't notice it, but you always wondered, what was this going on over here? Why did this explosion happen? And you kind of find out that, oh, this is Daniel becoming the Reverse Flash. And basically, Daniel as a character, as a villain, he's sympathetic to a point, but you definitely see that his toward the issue, you really realize that the character is very, very twisted mentally. He's broken. He comes from a broken family, and it really does affect him, because more or less, he has the only person that he really does trust in the world is Iris. And he has a very, very, I would say, very creepy affection towards Iris. But it's also explained why he is, why it's like that, because in further on, you begin to realize that Daniel was that type of kid that could never make friends. He was the weird kid, the loner, the outsider. His sister was the only one that always protected him. And, you know, even protected him from their father, who, you know, had some social problems. And I encourage you guys to read it. It's not for the faint of heart if you don't like domestic violence. But, you know, you really want to feel sympathy for Daniel because of what's happened to him. But toward the end, you begin. I really felt that, you know what, Daniel's still in the wrong. Yeah, he came from a broken family. He came from a very, very tragic background. However, the fact that basically how he goes about wanting to change all this is wrong. They still didn't explain how he knows that basically the past has to be changed, though. All Daniel says is the fact that everything that has that made him the first Reverse Flash has been driving him to basically face Barry. He can't explain it, but down deep inside, something in the Speed Force was telling him, I have to defeat Barry Allen, and something is wrong, and it has to be fixed. Which is actually pretty cool, because it gives that kind of weird, it gives more depth to the idea of the Speed Force, because if you guys read Flash Rebirth, you know, the Speed Force was treated as kind of like this weird location that Barry came from and all speedsters are locked away in. And the fact that basically now we get this idea that the Speed Force is like this living entity that is calling out to the speedsters is actually really cool, because now we're wondering, okay, Why is the Speed Force literally driving the Reverse Flash? You have to kill Barry Allen. Which is cool. I think that basically if they do tie into Flash Rebirth, that'd be awesome. Like the whole problem, if everything wasn't Flashpoint, it was Flash Rebirth. Cuz I can actually see it tying into Flash Rebirth, because Barry Allen came back when he shouldn't have. We are like in Flash Rebirth. We talked about Flash Rebirth in the past as a storyline, and we basically, everyone knows that Barry Allen feels that he doesn't belong here. You gotta remember, he's been dead for like a decade, so the fact that he's back doesn't feel right to him. So the fact that the Speed Force is now driving these bad things to happen to Barry and the Reverse Flash is suddenly sent to go kill him, basically tells you that maybe this all just doesn't tie into Flashpoint. It ties into Flash Rebirth, because Barry Allen shouldn't be here. Barry Allen needed to die. And I actually like it. I really do think that this is a really important issue for Flash fans. We finally get at least one answer to one of the many mysteries of the Flash series right now, which is, who is the Reverse Flash? Am I upset that it's not Wally? I'm a little disappointed.
I'm not a Wally West guy anyway.
I love Wally because you gotta understand, and people think it's silly that there's like this fan base that you know, worships Wally West. But you guys gotta understand, we grew up with Wally. We didn't grow up with Barry. That's 12 years of, that's a decade.
I grew up with Barry.
You grew up with Barry. I grew up with the Teen Titans and Wally West. Mm. So for me, a decade's worth of fandom is kind of sad to miss. You want to see that character back. But I do understand why it's not there right now. They're trying not to give it to us right away. I think it's going to, like, all of a sudden, I could see it happening where you find out Daniel is Wally. In some weird way that's his name. They just call him Daniel. I could see that happening because that happens a lot in comics. But
here's my point on Reverse Flash. Professor Zoom.
Exactly. That was my next point.
Eobard Thawne.
Eber Thawne.
Where is he?
That is what I was going to lead up into right now, is the fact that, okay, we're happy. Everyone says, oh, it's Daniel West. Okay. No one's really asked, what happened to Eber Thawne? And you got to remember, if this ties into Flashpoint, Thawne has to be there. So, we know Reverse Flash. This is a prediction. This is a Atomic Fallout prediction from the Flash aficionado. I think what's going to happen, we know Daniel West is the Reverse Flash. Somehow, I'm guessing that they're going to connect Wally, the name Wally, to that somehow. But the only other Flash that we have not seen is the Death Flash, the Black Flash. That's the only one we haven't seen yet. I would not be surprised if Eben Thawne comes back as the Black Flash.
Okay.
The Flash that basically goes around and basically kills all the speedsters. It makes sense. And it also makes sense because, A, that's been Thawne's MO from the get-go. He wants to basically remove and kill everybody from existence. Well, if he's the Death Flash, that makes it perfect. Okay. Reverse Flash, he just wants to actually put everything in reverse and fix everything in the past. So making it Daniel West makes sense at this point, especially if you read the backstory of Daniel. And it's actually really cool. And as I said, if people are not comfortable with the idea of domestic violence, that it deals with that. The background of that is there. It's not really heavy, but it's there. It really, when I was reading it, it really made me question my own point of view of what I thought domestic violence is and what it does to a family and stuff like that. But overall, writing wise, you guys know that pretty much I'm going to give this a very high score. Manipal has been great. Buccolato has been good. Hepburn as the artist has been really good. Writing wise, I'm going to give this a 4. Great origin story. People might not like it because it's just too cookie cutter. But when you really read the title of Flash, I love the fact that they tied in all the little things that happened in Flash in the past. Now we get to see that every instance, you know, matters. Every single moment mattered. You know, the whole thing with the Rogues, that ties into Reverse Flash, and I encourage you guys to read it. That it's kind of interesting how Daniel transforms. So 4 for writing, and I'm going to give a solid 4 for art. I think that Scott Hepburn's art is really good. Buccolato doing the colors was fantastic in this issue. So overall, Reverse Flash. Now here's the thing, on a side note, I wasn't a big fan of the Grodd one, the Grodd 23.1.
You just don't like gorillas.
No, that could be taken so wrong, but especially with me. But I just felt that, why do an issue on Grodd when we wanted to know who Reverse Flash was and where 22 left off? So getting to this point has been a good payoff. I like that this is the way they introduced the Reverse Flash. Again, I love the design of Reverse Flash. So overall, the title gets a 4.
All right, then. My understanding is you have a particular issue with yet another big storyline.
Well,
that's come out this week. I'll let you take this because it did sort of like raise my eyebrow as well.
Now, because Brian's not here, we don't have that third issue to actually go across. But I'm going to basically wrap this up simply in a tangent. First thing, honorable mentions for me, Captain America, number 11, really good. Really good, really dark. Especially when you read the whole story as a whole. Another honorable mention that I basically tell people, pick it up and read it, because I want to see what everyone's reactions are, is Justice League 23.2. Correction, Lobo, number 1. Here's why. Everyone knows about the redesigns of Lobo. They leaked online. They said, this is the new Lobo. And they also leaked that basically, oh yeah, the Lobo we know is out there.
Lobo's light in the step.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about skinny. He looks douchey.
And that's the thing. It's kind of like, what we have is...
He's a metrosexual.
No, I wouldn't call him metrosexual.
He's a homosexual.
He could be, but I only knows. But the story that we got here for Lobo number 1, of course they call it DC Unleashes Lobo. We have Marguerite Bennett writing, and we have Ben Oliver and Cliff Richards on artists.
Okay.
And overall, my thoughts on the whole redesigning of Lobo. I don't like it.
And why don't you like it?
Lobo's a biker. Lobo's an idiot. Lobo is Deadpool of the DC Universe. He's not really supposed to be sleek and
gay.
And thin and...
gay.
Okay, yeah. Pretty much. He's not supposed to be kind of like this cool-looking character. He's supposed to be a brute. The gay. Silly brute.
He's gay.
Pretty much.
Well, no. Let me just stop there, and I don't want to make this a controversial statement, dude. I mean, that's a pretty good looking suit he's got on now.
It's not Lobo. Lobo is the guy in the front cover. The fact that they say that's Lobo, and I'm showing my brother the difference. You see the difference.
The old Lobo reminds me of Dan.
Pretty much. And that's a cool Lobo. This Lobo is like, really?
If Dan
shaved. We're going to say that that's Lobo.
If Dan shaved.
No, that actually, you know what? That kind of looks like Flores.
Oh, there you go. All right.
That looks like Flores.
There you go.
That looks like Michael Flores. All and right. Then that's Dan.
There you go. So pre-52 Lobo was Dan. And after 52 Lobo
is Michael Flores.
Is Mike Flores. All right. I'm going to post that on Facebook.
And here's the thing. The darker Lobo, they call him the darker Lobo. It's okay. I like it. You know, this is what Lobo, his attitude was. You know, they got the attitude right. They got Lobo's attitude dead on. Marguerite Bennett did a great job writing Lobo. Because he doesn't give a crap about the world. All he cares about is himself. Now, everyone knows what the story is that they're going to do in Lobo, which is the Lobo we've grown up and known is not Lobo. The Lobo that we know is an imposter. The real Lobo is coming to kill him.
Wait, you mean to tell me that Lobo isn't like... You mean the Lobo that we've been growing up with has been a lie?
Yes.
That's weak.
It is weak. It's a very weak... It's a cop-out. You know, if you wanted to just read as a character, don't call back to, like, the past Lobo. I understand that a lot of people online have been saying, well, this is a knock on Liefeld. Because Liefeld was the one who introduced Lobo into the 52. And Rob Liefeld did a crappy job. I'm not cursing normally because there's a certain someone, but
we'll get there.
Here's my beef. They get right, they get the attitude, they down right. Honestly, I am not a big fan of the look. I'm really not. I'm like going, you know, it's one thing, and my tangent is basically what DC 52 is, their total redesignings of characters. You know, we've all made fun of, like, the armored Superman, the armored Batman. And you know what? It's grown on us. Why? Because it's not a major change. They just look more armored. They look more... What's the... You know, like, I remember you mentioning in the past, they look... The outfits are supposed to look real.
Yeah.
However, you know, when you do a total redesign like what they did with Lobo... It basically is just ruined. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's certain panels in here that Lobo looks cool. Lobo's a badass. Sorry, but and that's what Lobo is. That's why I said they get their attitude right. I would have just rather seen the original Lobo like this because there's no reason to redesign him. There's no reason to, and there's no reason to say, oh, the Lobo we've known. Is an imposter. It's a lie. This is the real Lobo. And I'm like going, no. If you're going to just redesign the character, leave that one alone. This was supposed to be a reboot anyhow. So when they announced that they were going to reboot Lobo, I was like, okay, they're going to totally redesign him. Fine. Just don't connect the two. Don't say that the one that we've known all this time, that we've grown up with, the chain-wielding motorcycle driving Lobo, cigar chomping Lobo, is a lie. No, that just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Now let's just like hold off on judgment because, you know, honestly, this may set up a very interesting storyline.
It might, but part of me is like saying what they're trying to do is kill off Lobo.
Well, part of me, what they just basically did is just do, like, shock value. Oh, like, the Lobo you know really isn't Lobo. No, not really, you know, like, but then again, this is, like, 52. This is, like, I mean, we just dwelled on the point that Eberron Thorn really isn't the Reverse Flash anymore.
Yeah, he's not. But the one thing that really did irritate me in the book is this, the redesigned Lobo talks like Lobo. He thinks like Lobo. So you see it in the dialogue boxes and everything. However, because of the redesigns, he says certain things that you're like going, dude, you're not even, like at one point he makes a comment that his life, he never loved me a woman. Way I love my choppers. And I'm like going, dude, throughout the book, we've never even seen you ride a motorcycle. You've just been riding spaceships.
I'm just saying that, you know, like, let's give it, it's a one-shot. Let's like, hold off before we find out exactly where they're going to go with this. Knowing DC Comics nowadays, they may not even come back to this.
They might not.
At the rate that they're going.
Which would be so sad, because it would just be so, seeing that basically they're pressured because of the fan base. Because the fan base has been rabid about this.
Yeah.
They hate the redesign of Lobo. I don't blame them. But, you know, it is a good title. I do think that the writing was well done.
I think that the gay community might like the new redesign.
Don't say that, because now I'm looking at... You know, even that one, that's Michael Flores. and like, you have Michael Flores and then Dan Narciso. And I'm like going, I like Dan Lobo.
Well, tune into Facebook later on tonight, and I'm going to do a little bit surprise for our buddies over at Cazador Radio, which is another network, so we won't mention that too much. So anyway, good job. Good job on the reviews.
Are you going to introduce our guest now?
Yeah, I want to spend the rest of this show talking with a very special guest. And this is without this guest, this would not be possible. You know, like a long time ago.
Now, I want to preface this. You do realize Brian's going to hate you in a couple seconds because if he knew that this was our guest, he would want to be here.
Well, Mom, the problem is our guest is our mom. She's sitting here right beside us right now, you know, just sitting and listening, you know, nodding her head and whatnot. She's very, very shy. She doesn't like to, like, go out that much.
When it comes to actually...
She only likes to get her manicures, her pedicures, and facials, and likes to go and shopping and all that sort of stuff. And I have to give her allowance and all that. So, but anyway, one of our earlier episodes was dedicated to our mom.
Yeah, because if you guys remember, 2 or 3 years ago, our mom suffered a...
Ischemic stroke.
And it took me and Tony about 2 weeks, and then we decided to do a special Atomic Fallout Society dedicated to our mom. And because, like, she was in the hospital at the time.
Yeah. So
2 or 3 years later, thank God, our mom is doing good. Yeah, she's doing well.
Still spending money. Still shopping.
She's not as fast as she used to be, but, you know, she's happy.
She's very happy just sitting, doing her Sudoku and watching TV and, you know, eating and sleeping.
So, Mom, are you going to say something?
Yeah,
are you
going to say something to everyone out there? Because everyone's listening.
At least say hi.
Hello, how are you? I have 2 wonderful boys.
Wow, that was scripted. Now tell us exactly what you really think.
Because my son gave me allowance.
Oh. That's it. It's not love, it's allowance.
It's money.
Yeah.
Hey, and it's true. Money makes the world go round.
So, but anyway, one of the other reasons why we dedicated that show to my mom was because if it's really my mom's fault that me and David read comic books.
Yeah.
Now, according to the story, you know, I was too young to even realize what the hell's going on. Yes. I mean, I would just poop in my pants and just like watching Batman on TV.
Yes.
But my mom told me that in order for me to like improve on reading, she would buy me comic books.
Yes.
So you bought me comic books when I was how old?
1 year old.
So a 1 year old baby getting these comic books. One, looking back on it, I'm like thinking these comic books now would probably be worth about a couple $100.
Oh, she even put them in binders.
Yeah, I know. Well, not just that, but my mom would tell me that when I first attempted to read a comic book, I was too stupid to, like, turn the page. I would rip the page off and throw it away.
Yes.
Now, why didn't you stop me?
You do realize how rich we would have been if you kept all those comics.
After you look at the picture, you will tear the comics.
So we couldn't do anything?
There's no, well, nothing? Not just that. You know, like, as we got older, my mom, like my brother said, my mom would take some of our comic books, Richie Rich, yes, Casper the Friendly Ghost, and, like, actually put them in binders. But not in the way that you might think. She would actually bring the stack of comic books to the local printer and have them drill holes into the comic books so that she could put binders permanently into the comic.
So you will not tear it.
And think about it, too.
Now, understand, this is before comic books became like a serious collectible. So no one really knew that drilling the holes in comic books
would ruin the value.
That was until I decided to try to sell the comic books to our buddy Mike Malvey.
At the old Atomic.
Or even, I think, at old Bubba's Comics.
Bubba's Comics. Uh-huh.
And he saw the holes in the comic books, and I think he nearly cried.
Yeah, because some of the comics, I remember going through that old beat-up collection, You know, you had like the first appearance of the Punisher. That was awesome when I found that. And it was out of Spider-Man comics. You had early X-Men comics, you know, like with the Jean Grey, the Rise of the Phoenix.
Okay, let's stop because I'm going to start crying. But anyway, I credit my mom for actually giving me the opportunity when I was a baby to read comic books. And to this day, I still read comic books. Now, in the last couple of years, like I've been bringing my mom and my dad to even comic book conventions. I gave them an opportunity. You and Dad have only been to the San Diego Comic-Con once, right?
Twice, I think.
Twice? Uh-huh. Twice or just once?
Twice, isn't it?
Yeah, it was twice because the one time was when we had our friend Anthony and our my friend Michael with us. And then the one time was just the four of us.
Okay. So they've experienced San Diego Comic-Con. They've experienced Phoenix Comic-Con the last couple of years. We actually took my mom and dad about a year or two ago to the very first Stanley Kamikaze in L.A.
Yeah, Mom, what did you think about that? Especially that long line in the very beginning.
Yes. Very good.
You could talk more, Mom. Why are you talking in broken English? You're being very formal. You don't have to be formal.
Why are you being so formal? And it's a short sentence.
So you could tell that my mom doesn't like to talk that much.
Yeah, and especially since some of our friends out there know our mom talks. They know that she talks. For some strange reason, she's reverting to Asian woman and broken English. Yeah. I don't know why.
But, you know, like, my mom, you know, would, this is before David was born. In New Jersey, my mom, after she...
Pick up you in school.
Yeah, she'd come pick us up at school, and then we'd take this walk down towards Anderson Street, which was the major main street in Cliffside Park, New Jersey, where me and my sister were raised.
Then buy your comics.
Yeah, we'll buy a comic book. You know, like, and I remember around that time, I remember even getting, like, not just comic books, but also the very first Star Wars figures were coming out.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that I had an X-Wing. I begged Mom and Dad to buy me an X-Wing. And I think I broke it.
Yes.
And just think how much that X-Wing costs now.
Yeah, I think that there was a sand... There was a sand...
Crawler.
No. A sandbox behind our apartment building. And I lost the cockpit hatch in the sandbox.
Well, Mom, wasn't there like a story one time along... Was it me or Tony that stole a comic by accident because we were small?
That was you. You were the one that walked into the... you were a baby. You were still,
We walk in the comic store, and then my son went out because I was in the car, and he said, "Mom, I have a book. I have a comics book." I said, "Oh, that's nice." I thought that Tony G or they bought some for David, and actually,
I just walked out with it.
Yeah.
He walked out without paying it.
Yeah. Sounds like my mom. But anyway, I wanted to at least take this time to thank my mom for giving me the opportunity
to buy
comic books. My mom likes to buy comic books. The only comic book that my mom ever likes to buy, and this
nowadays.
Was like... Nowadays, and this was evident a couple weekends ago when we went to L.A. to see my dad off to the Philippines, was when I brought Mom and you to Golden Apple Comics in L.A., the only comic book that my mom wanted to see if they had copies of were the Classics Illustrated. Classics Illustrated is like a huge comic book. Or it's an old comic.
It's
book.
Old.
Yeah, no,
but
like,
it's like the, all the old classic novels done in comic form.
Yeah.
Like Moby Dick, Huck Finn.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. Even when, remember when we went to Gotham She cleared Miguel out of all the Classic Illustrated that he had. All those old comics that he had, she cleared him out of them.
Yeah, you know, like, it was just a bunch of old comic books that she and my dad would like to collect. You know, like, they like the Classics Illustrated. I remember a while back that my mom even gave me a couple of Filipino comic books. Although, they smelled funny.
They smelled funny, and they probably weren't made with paper.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but anyway, I'm glad that my mom's here. This is a very special episode because we are doing it old school, but since my mom is here, I wanted to have her say a couple words to everyone out there listening to Atomic Fallout Society. You may have met my mom, especially if the Atomic Comics, you know, like Mike Malvey of Atomic Comics, good friend of the family, you know, like very familiar with my mom and dad, and my mom thinks so highly of Mike. So, and honestly, without Mike, there's no Atomic Comics. Without Atomic Comics,
there's no Atomic Fallout Society.
Yes, exactly. So, but anyway, Mom, any last words?
Can you say bye to people in Filipino? That way they know.
No. This is my advice to the young parents.
Oh, God.
Buy your kids a comics so they will learn how to read and
go on.
Tell story.
Okay.
That's how you learn how to read.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I can't argue with that.
I can't argue with that.
Aside from Classics Illustrated, do you have a favorite comic book?
Oh, it was the Phantom Stranger, wasn't it, Mom? Or The Shadow?
The Shadow.
Because Mom still has, like, all those old Shadow comics.
Yeah, she has a box of old comic books.
Yeah, that's being protected by me.
Yeah. But, you know, like, so, Mom, what do you think about the show? This is what we've been doing for more than almost 2 years.
Oh, I thought that you are smoking marijuana.
Well, it could have been worse. She could have said something else that she normally could have said.
Jesus Christ. You know, it's just good because, you know, like when we're with the show with Brian, when Brian's doing the show with us, there's a lot of cursing.
There is a lot of cursing.
And it's all because of Brian.
It is Brian's fault. Yeah, it is Brian's fault.
Ever since we brought him onto the show. My friend Brian.
He is a good boy.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, you heard that, Brian. You got a supporter in my mom. So, but yeah, you know, like, I'm sure that if... You haven't really heard any of the other shows we've done, have you, Mom?
No.
She doesn't want to listen because she's afraid that, you know, with all the cursing. That's why she doesn't listen to the other
And you
channel.
And Black Kiss.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm holding back a lot of things that I would normally say?
Any last words, Mom?
Thank you for listening to my two sons.
And Brian.
And Brian.
Okay. All right. Well, that's my mom. Since she's here, I decided to force her to be on the show with us. Like I said, this is episode number 99. I certainly hope that... I'm curious to see how this show sounds like.
God, I know that basically Brian's going to be pulling his hair out.
but here's the good thing, Brian. We're not doing
this for 100, are we?
Yeah, we're not doing this for 100
because he'll take the laptop and smash it.
We invite a lot of people to come by next week.
Absolutely.
To Samurai Comics, celebrate our 100th episode in Samurai Comics Wednesday night if you're available.
Yes.
Thanks, Mom. and we will have a lot to talk about. We'll have a lot to look back on.
Well, Mom, if a lot of people come, will we bring food?
I will bring you food if you will go there.
You're gonna make Mom cook?
Why not?
No, Jesus. I'll buy you cookies.
Oh, God. Anyway, next week is our 100th episode. Our comrade in arms, Brian Smith, will be back with us. Who knows? Chris might be there. Did you know that our other friend, Chris Liligan?
And you ruined his name again!
I do the same thing with Dan. He's Filipino. We have another Filipino on the show.
Liligan?
Yeah.
I don't hear that.
Did you hear that, Chris? My mom doesn't think you're Filipino.
She doesn't believe you.
Yeah. Liligan. Liligan.
Don't try. Don't try anymore. You're
well, how do you pronounce it?
I don't want to ruin it either.
Well, anyway, our buddy Chris, he's been helping us the last couple of weeks. Jacob's also been helping out. You know, like, you may see them next week. Our buddy Greg might be there also next
Dark
week.
Dark Side Moore.
And, you know, maybe we might have Alan Moore. Maybe we should even have...
No, Brian said that Alan Moore is not to show up again because he still has those cigarette scars.
Okay. Well, and maybe we might even have our fearless leader, Kevin Moyers, join us.
And maybe our mom.
So you make it good.
Or even Dad.
Yeah, Dad will be back in town next week, God willing. So, like maybe we might interview him.
Oh, wow!
What day is that?
That's Wednesday night. Or maybe not. He might be sleeping by then.
We'll see.
My mom and Dad like to sleep.
You never know. Maybe Brian's gonna. If Brian finds out that we'll have our parents, he might actually say we're gonna record it at the house. So golly knows.
They got to drive all the way out here to like Queen Creek.
That is true.
So, but anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening. This is episode 99. Again, you can find us on abnormalentertainment.blogspot.com. Or atomicfallout.blogspot.com. You could even find us on Facebook.
Definitely Facebook on page. Facebook because we got another promo code.
Are we still on Stitcher?
Yes, we are.
We're on Stitcher. And
Are we on Blog Talk?
I don't think so.
No.
Maybe that's something we could be on. iTunes. I think I've seen iTunes and SoundCloud, I think. But anyway, this is the Atomic Fallout Society. On behalf of my brother David, our special guest, my mom. Mom.
Yes.
And this is me, Tony Sabal. This is the Atomic Fallout Society. We will talk to you next week for episode number 100.
Yes.
But say bye, Mom.
See you next week.
Head to abnormalentertainment.com for all of our podcasts and blogs. Go to cinemaheadcheese.com for our movie reviews and news. Don't forget our YouTube channels, Abnormal Podcast and Cinema Head Cheese. Get us on Twitter, @abnormalpodcasts, and find all of our shows and Abnormal Entertainment on Facebook. New content 7 days a week from Abnormal Entertainment.
You've been listening to the Abnormal Entertainment Network.